Sports. Wine. Life. This is the Macko and Cos podcast.
Welcome, everybody. Happy 2018. This is the Macko and Cos podcast. And as it is the first one back, and Bob was cottaging, and Christmas and New Year's, we figured we'd start off with nice, happy cheer. How you doing, Bob?
Yeah, I'm great, man. I'm just great. It was a tough slog getting over here today, buddy.
Yeah.
504, very, very crowded, and only intermittently participating in today's traffic.
Yeah.
15 minutes between streetcars. I don't want to be the complainy guy. I got real tired over the break listening to people complain about being cold.
Yeah.
Boo-hoo, you live in Canada.
Yeah.
Plus, there's people who don't have homes to like go to get out of the cold. So, one, there's that.
Yeah, but the problem with that is then we're never allowed to complain.
Ding, ding. What the hell do you got to complain about?
Well, very
people,
little.
You know what? It's way too easy for people to complain. In fact, I'm going to stop right now.
Okay.
Although I will say one little thing.
One little thing.
I'm going to start off this new
not
year
as bad as what's going on with the homeless, but a close second is?
Actually, it's not about the cold. The only thing I don't like about winter is slush.
Yeah.
Slush, it feels like, is not our birthright.
Yeah.
Slush we created for ourselves. There's no slush in nature, but it's all the cars and the salt and the...
Yeah, it's gross.
It's gross.
It's like gross and it's
wet.
When you have
to step into the big puddle
yeah.
of brown ooze.
Yeah.
It's
not good.
Yeah. You know what? Even maybe more so than the good coat, you need good boots.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Because you can do layers,
yeah.
but you can't do layers of shoes.
No, no.
I guess you could multiple sock.
But you got a multiple sock it. And it, but the thing is, it's uncomfortable.
It's really uncomfortable. And they have to be waterproof.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
See my earlier note about sludge.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well then.
Okay, so let's not complain. This is the no complaints edition of Macko and Cos.
Great. Later on in the show, we'll complain about the concussion protocol with Cam Newton. No, I'm kidding. And we'll complain about the Buffalo Bills making the playoffs.
In a way.
Did they really, though?
Did they really?
If a tree falls in a forest.
If you don't score a touchdown, is anybody here?
Yeah, so we'll get to all that.
And the irony is, okay, can we get into the irony now and then
sure,
come back
sure,
to
sure,
it?
Sure, 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 yeah.
That might have been the audition tape for Jacksonville because Tyrod Taylor might be their quarterback next year.
Oh, God.
How weird is that?
No, they can't go that. That's not a step up from Blake Bortles.
Are you sure?
It's a lateral move at most.
I don't know.
Tyrod Taylor stunk.
He did stink. Now, but he's usually not that bad. He was playing the best defense in football.
Yeah, and also to add to that, not to get racial, but that's actually my New Year's goal in 2018.
To get racial as
to
often
get
as
more
possible?
Racial.
Good, I love it.
But it seemed like Tyrod Taylor was throwing to a lot of white guys named O'Leary, or they look like fullbacks.
And he those threw to Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah, yeah, which was a great throw on first and goal from the one, and that was offensive pass interference. Anyway, it's not exactly like he had a lot of weapons around him.
No, and Sammy Watkins stunk it up for the Rams.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah. He did yesterday or this weekend anyway. All right, so anyway, I just thought that was an irony. It was, as resumes go, that might have been the worst job resume of all time.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Pretty bad.
And same thing for Nathan Peterman, who comes in. What does he do? He throws an interception.
Unbelievable.
He loves interceptions. He just loves them.
It wasn't even his fault. It was a tip ball.
Yeah, I know. But
it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
Did you not in the back of your mind think, okay, he could probably erase the 5 picks in 1 half performance. He doesn't even have to score. He just has to look good. He just has to complete a couple passes.
Not at all.
One scramble and then a pick.
So before we get to sports, and I got a lot of thoughts on the NFL from this past weekend.
I want to talk about Travis Dermott.
We can talk about Travis Dermott later. Maybe I'll compare Ross Atkins to women lying about orgasming with me.
Interesting.
Yes. But first, how was the holidays? How was the break? How was cottaging?
Cottaging, pleasant, cold. But as you know, if you just get out and do it, you can get out and do it. Skated in a forest. Took my daughter skiing for the first time. She loved it. So that was cool. I wanted to discuss a gift I got.
Okay.
Because I don't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
I got as a present a coupon for an isolation tank.
A coupon? Can I guess who gave that to you?
Yeah, sure.
George.
Yeah, it was George.
Okay. A coupon for an isolation tank.
Yeah.
You want to do the podcast from there? Like, you'll be there isolated, and then I'll just come in. Hey, Bob, here's a microphone. What do you think of Eli Manning?
And okay, Bill Belichick maybe is going to be here. He won't be. But I thought it was hard not to think of you when that rumor came up. So what do you do? Like,
First, I don't know if this is an indelicate question, but how much does one of those things cost?
I have
like
no idea. It feels like it's too expensive to just not do it.
Yeah, you got to do. Yeah, well, you got to go.
I got to go, right?
Yeah. Now, is this like, are you in the tank of water? And
yeah,
that whole thing?
Yeah. It's basically like you're in a soup broth.
Yeah.
And they close you in.
Yeah.
It's somewhere between a soup broth and you know those containers they catch ghosts in Ghostbusters?
Of course.
I think it's like a human version of that where you go into this like trappy pit kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you float around and then you come out and I guess you're healed?
Healed? At some point, it's Mr. Peck going to come and demand that all the ghosts get released and suddenly you're going to be released early on and... No, sir, this man has no dick.
So I'm going to try to do that sometime in the next couple of weeks and do a full report of what my experience was like in an isolation tank.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I think that, oh, yeah.
I'm a little nervous. Spending time alone in my brain, historically, not good.
Not always the best. Not always the best, but this is a new Bob. This is No Complaining 2018 Bob.
That's an excellent point. Yeah. How about you? How was your break?
Break was good. I'll just tell one story because, you know, I could tell hundreds and hundreds, but most of them are only interesting to me. Shocking. I was up at a resort for a couple days in Orillia, called Fern Resort. And I went dog sled riding.
Oh, cool. Yes. Driving. Like were you the guy yelling mush?
You don't yell mush, you yell forward. So I did that. And I was standing on it, and then Amy was sitting, and then we would switch, and she'd be driving, and I'd be the one sitting in it. Now, dog sled, I keep saying racing, but listen, it was just dog sled riding. And it was fun, and just out in the woods and stuff. But there's one thing there, the key word of those three words, dog, sleigh, and riding, is the word dog. Because there's four dogs. And the two dogs closer to us, the one on the right was a real horny son of a bitch. He spent so much of the time smelling or licking the other dog's ass. And the problem is anytime we slowed down, he'd be like, oh, it's humping time. And then the two dogs in the front were like, oh, wait, is there a dog orgy going on? So suddenly all four of the dogs are like something out of Caligula. And our instructor had to come and break the dogs apart, and then later Amy and I, we got used to it, but it was so funny because we'd be going and you could see the one dog on the right and be racing, and then he's like, hey, wait a minute, well, a pheromone's coming from this lady dog to my left, and we're just like, no, eyes forward, 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 and just eyes on the prize. And it ended up being really funny, but it's something you don't see from dog sled riding.
I think that's officially the untold story.
Yeah.
It's like the Olympic Village at the Olympics, you find out afterwards it's the horniest place in the world, and they're giving out prophylactics to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
So did the guy who was the instructor or
the guide,
did he say this was uncommon behavior?
I think what we got was certainly a little bit uncommon because at the end, victim blaming happened.
Really?
They took the female dog off and replaced it with another male dog because her pheromones were going crazy. So I think what we got was an extra special dose of just horny dogs. So
were there all adults on the sled? Or did any kids watch this?
No.
That's always hard to explain what the dogs are doing to a kid.
Oh, yeah. Like, this was pretty graphic. I'm like, you know, I wouldn't even click on this on any of them sex websites. Like, this was pretty graphic. No children. All adults. Because, Bob, it's me. If you know, if I'm at a winter resort, I'm just with other adults. There are no children around.
All right, so before we get into sports, and we also want to go over diet foods, because both you and I ate too much.
Yes, top five diet foods by Bob Mackowitz.
I ate way too much.
Yeah.
In fact, the good work I did during my cleanse,
completely
erased.
Yeah.
Completely. Unbelievable. In fact, I can only build this to myself so that I don't get like completely angry at my own gluttony.
Was
that it's going to be curious to see how long it takes me to get it back.
Yeah.
Because I'm in the worst shape ever.
Yeah.
I'm convinced. My mom calls me after the snow to make sure I didn't die shoveling the snow.
Oh, no.
That's how little confidence she has in me right now.
You've got 20 more years before that.
I don't know. A lot of people. It's a very common winter mishap.
Was your cleanse like a poorly constructed castle wall? And then the food in the winter was all the orcs overrunning it.
That's a good metaphor. I think it was like this, man. You go to Canada's Wonderland, you know, the big pirate ship that swings one direction and the next?
Yeah.
That's kind of my dieting.
Yeah.
I'm up and I'm down.
So then you're like 85% of everyone else.
Yeah. So you had one other point before sports?
And yeah, just going to this is we went up north and there's a pool at the resort that we stay at.
Yep.
And I've realized there's two kinds of people in the world. When there's a bunch of kids in a pool, one group of people will play with the kids and the other ones will avoid it at all costs and go right to the jacuzzi yeah. and let the other ones hold the bag. I think I know which one you are.
Oh, it depends.
Because you're the fun uncle.
Though. I'm fun uncle. Oh, yeah.
You know what? That's true.
I'll toss them around.
Okay, that's true. Because we had a bunch of adults and half went immediately to the jacuzzi and just started talking and having fun and giggling.
Yeah.
The rest of us were left there basically with the orcs you described from earlier crawling all over us.
Oh, yeah.
What is it about kids in pools that just says fight?
Oh, yeah.
Wrestle.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, gravity doesn't have the same impact. So
that
they
must be it, right?
So they feel more invincible. They can just do what they
it's
want.
It's like being on a trampoline or something.
No, the other way. Because trampoline, you might feel, oh, God, I better be careful.
Oh, no. Kids go nuts on trampolines.
But when you're in a pool, you can do what you want. You can jump up. Because it's not like you're going to suddenly collapse on the ground. You're just going to be in the water.
Two kinds of people, Matt.
Yep.
The jacuzzi people.
Yep.
And everybody else.
The jacuzzi people seem like a lot more fun.
And happier, too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, let's get to sports. Do you want to dive in and do some football? Because wild card weekend's now over.
Yeah, okay. Here's a question for you.
Got any, many questions. Sure.
Many questions.
Go for it.
Let's just go to the big one. New Orleans and the Carolina Panthers.
Great game.
So Cam Newton, it's like, oh, is he out? And then all of Twitter is like, he better not come back in. If he comes in, the NFL and the concussion protocol is a total joke and a sham. For shame. And then moments later, whee! That is like the Christian McCaffrey 53-yard touchdown catch and run. And then the Saints go for it on fourth down. They don't get it. And after a 19-yard completion of Devin Funchess, with 90 seconds to go, Cam Newton's got the ball first and 10 at the 50. At that point, were you still thinking he shouldn't be in the game? Or was there part of you, much like snacking in December, guiltily consuming it all?
All right. So there's many, many thoughts here. I would say I had no problem with him coming back in because there's a concussion protocol. And if they took him to the little tent, they checked him out. He had the cut over his eye, but that was from the visor.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that he wanted to go in, but I'm also assuming that he was medically cleared.
Mm-hmm.
And do we believe that if someone is hit really hard, takes a series off, they should never go back in?
That's a good question. Yeah,
like absolutely. If you're bad enough to go out for a series,
yeah,
and we believe that the medical conclusions are inconclusive because they can't be on the sideline, then perhaps if you miss a series, you should never go back in. It should be like baseball, where if you sub out, you're done for the day.
Yeah, that would be you know what?
Is there any other way to do it? Because otherwise you say, I don't believe the medicine and he shouldn't be in there.
The problem is football, obviously much more physical sport, but I love the idea is a fascinating one. The thing is there's so much push and pull. No one trusts the NFL. No one trusts the team doctors. But also on the other side, no one trusts the players, especially the quarterback, the leader of the team, to think about his safety first. You know, at that point, we figure the quarterback. Remember, Cam Newton a couple years ago in the Super Bowl didn't dive for a fumble late in the game against the Denver Broncos and was challenged for that. So there's pressure on him. He's like, no, I want to go back in the game. I don't want to be in Derek Anderson. You know, so I don't trust. Nobody trusts anybody. No one trusts anyone.
The science is imperfect.
Yeah.
That everybody has their own motives for lying. And there's no way to come up with some sort of impartial standard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I had no problem with him being in there, because I figured that was probably as good as the system could work.
Yeah.
In that exact moment. I did think about Robert Griffin III, though. I did think about him ripping up his knee on Ford Field during a wild card game, and he was never the same.
Yep.
This would have been obviously different medical circumstances, but I looked at this and thought, is this or Tyrod Taylor when he got hammered at the end of the
Jags
game?
But
with
that one, you could
Bills.
See his whole body.
Yeah,
collapse.
No, he crushed. He got crushed. Yeah. I didn't think Cam Newton was coming back.
Mm-hmm. I did just because he's bigger than most of the guys that hit him. I thought he was coming back.
And I do want to come back to that point in just a second. But I guess what I'm saying is, I figured he wasn't coming back, but he did come back, and I thought, could this be a Robert Griffin scenario where a guy was allowed to play? It wound up hurting his career, and a great talent was snuffed out because of greed, stupidity, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But then after he came in and he throws that touchdown pass to Christian McCaffrey, all that goes away.
Yeah.
Because he seems fine.
Mm-hmm. And then he comes in again, and the first thing he does, the 19-yarder punches, first and 10 at the 50. Now, soon after that, the Saints defense clamped down.
True. And also a key play, and this is where the real hypocrisy for me kicks in, is the intentional grounding call.
Yeah.
They lose 10 seconds in a down, and that effectively destroyed their attempt to get into the end zone. So we talk about how badly we want to protect the quarterbacks, but we so stringently call intentional grounding. Should there be such a thing if we're really that worried about quarterbacks?
Yeah, you know what? That's something that's it's a great point that maybe the competitive
he threw it to protect himself. He was a guy who went in there after getting hammered insanely hard. And, you know, even if he was borderline, whatever, even if he wasn't borderline, it doesn't matter. The best opportunity a quarterback has to protect himself is to throw the ball away. We say it all the time. So maybe we should get out of this idea that he has to scramble out of the pocket. He can just dump the ball at any time.
Just throw the ball away.
If we're worried about health. I think it ruins the idea of a pass rush.
Yeah. Well, that's the and then it goes back to another push and pull. How far do you change the nature of football for safety while still retaining the general essence of football?
Ding, ding, ding. That's always going to be the irresolvable question because it is an unsafe game.
Yes.
And we try to make it less unsafe with rules, but those rules make it less fun, and the only point of the game to begin with is fun.
And also, we like some of the physicalness, the hitting, the savagery, like some of the viciousness of it. Like, we like violence.
The human hit that took like Cam violence. Newton out was fantastic. Mm-hmm. He avoids the first guy on the pass rush and then walks into a wall of man who just comes plowing into him.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. In another era, that's the highlight clip.
Oh, absolutely. That's the Crunch Crew. That's the ESPN. He got jacked up. Like, it's all of that, but... Yeah.
I do want to make the point you said about how, you know, he didn't die for a ball. Cam Newton didn't, you know, going back, and maybe it's in the back of his mind now. He's got to get out there. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But I think Cam Newton is like the Shaquille O'Neal of the NFL in that he is so big and so strong. You almost don't accept the fact that he could get hurt by something.
Yeah.
That would hurt an ordinary quarterback. Like, he's playing Drew Brees. Drew Brees is 6 feet tall. He looks like he could get snapped like a twig by the same hit.
Yes.
But how many things were unfair towards Shaquille O'Neal in terms of how he was handled? Because he was big enough to manage most of it, even though it was illegal.
Yeah, there are a bunch of those athletes out there. Rob Gronkowski is one.
Great point.
There are those guys that are so just, they are so different physically, their position than the people around them, that the refs don't know how to handle it. And Cam Newton, the year after they went to the Super Bowl, the Thursday nighter against the Denver Broncos, where the Denver Broncos launched themselves like torpedoes over and over again at the head of Cam Newton. And there was like not one penalty called. And there's something about like, it's because just Cam is so much bigger and stronger. He doesn't get calls that he should get, that other quarterbacks are going to.
100%. Can we agree that New Orleans looked like the best team to come out of the wild card weekend?
Yes. Yes. And here's the main reason why. Over the second half of the season, the Saints have been known for running the ball. Like Drew Brees, his overall numbers look great, but over the second half, I think his numbers were down. They were not passing nearly as much. I have friends in fantasy football that bitch and complain. They'd become the Kamara and Mark Ingram show. So what happens? Carolina shuts down the running game. Drew Brees like, well, okay.
Yeah, he throws for 376 yards.
And that is the most impressive thing. When a team takes away one thing, you're like, oh, okay, don't worry. We can do the other as well.
What you saw was Jacksonville decided that they were going to key on Tyrod Taylor, and they couldn't run the ball enough. Mm-hmm. They said it repeatedly throughout the show that they didn't believe that Tyrod Taylor could suture together enough drives of little plays that would get them, and they didn't believe that they could throw the big ball. And they couldn't. And your point is a really, really good one about why New Orleans, plus their defense, is a better defense than it used to be.
Yeah.
But when you have two ways that you can attack a team, it makes it very hard to scheme against.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And there are very few teams that have both of those. So, yes, I think, by the way, moving forward, I think the Saints, that'll be the close game, I think, between them and Minnesota, but I think the Saints win. I think Atlanta
looks good.
I think Atlanta blows out Philadelphia. I think Pittsburgh blows out Jacksonville. And I think New England's already up 37-3 on the Titans.
It feels like as much as there were games that went to the line on this one, you're not going to get that in the next round.
It just, when you look at the disparity of quarterback quality and experience, it is massive. And people are trying to say Jacksonville's defense, and yeah, Jacksonville's defense is great, but Blake Bortles could not throw the ball downfield.
He ran for more yards than he threw.
And just the short passes weren't being completed.
In the
and
first half, he actually, it was almost sad to watch. It was almost uncomfortable as he was just floating balls out there.
Yeah, and he was getting booed, just booed throughout the game by the home crowd.
He was terrible, though.
He was terrible. He deserved to be booed.
It feels like this is the place where we need to get in here. I mean, you and I have been waiting a long time for this conversation because as Canada's number one source for Jacksonville Jaguars talk,
yes,
they're now making it through to the second round of the playoffs. So, Maddie, is it time for a little Hot Jags talk?
Here's the thing. If you include the offense and the defense, I don't think it can be Hot Jags talk. I think it's lukewarm.
It's like the McDLT.
Yeah.
Keep the hot side hot and the cold side cold.
Well, this is the lettuce. This is the L part of it. That defense is incredible.
Isn't it amazing to watch? Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, just they're just...
Calais Campbell. It's speed and everyone tackles. That's the two things I noticed. Everyone tackles. And it's so fast.
All right, so I came up with an analogy because the clear story with Jacksonville is their defense is Super Bowl caliber and they have basically an NCAA offense.
Yeah.
So let's think about a movie where two guys had to carry basically dead weight around and make it seem like they were alive so that they could perpetuate the illusion of life.
May I?
Go ahead. The Jacksonville Jaguars are?
The Weekend at Bernie's. Yes, we did not at all. We actually didn't.
We actually did not coordinate that ahead of time. I was watching them carry Blake Bortles around, and I thought, he's Bernie.
Yeah.
They're just carrying him.
Just carrying him around, yeah. All right, Bernie, here you go. Here's the center. Put your hand on his ass. I know it's weird, but it's what you got to do.
Flopping his hand down, all limp, and yelling hot behind his head.
Oh, my God. He threw the ball. Oh, Bernie, it's
you can't see this
ten.
Because it's a pod, but Matt's doing this very, I would say, unimpressive physical motion, indicating a bad toss.
Oh, my God. Yeah, he could not.
Did you see when they brought up the board during the game comparing him to Peyton Manning during Peyton Manning's Super Bowl run with the Broncos?
Yeah. Oh.
And how comparable they were?
God, yeah.
You know, they could win.
No, they
could. You just have to get enough points. Just get to 20.
What they need
is a Leonard Fournette thing, though.
It's a Leonard Fournette and plus two. They need to be plus two in the turnover ratio. If the game is even, they can't.
That's a really good point. They can't. If you can get 7 points from your defense, you got a chance. That's a good point.
Yeah, it has to be that. I had this thought, and I was talking with a Sage Rosenfeld, the former NFL quarterback. By the way, that's a horrible name drop. Yeah, I was talking with Sage Rosenfeld. You know, you don't know him? Oh, look him up. No, GE. Yeah, okay, never mind.
I think it's Rosenfels.
Whatever. Hopefully he didn't notice.
If you're going to drop his name, you should at least get it right.
Hey. And he was taking the politically correct approach, but I'm like, I have this image that all the defensive players for Jacksonville after the game were just like, we want to kill you, Blake. Like, we want to, like, just like Homer Simpson on Bart, like, just wants to strangle him. I feel bad for the defense.
Football teams are weird in that they're basically two teams tied together by a uniform.
Yeah.
You have two units that do completely separate things, and nobody...
You have two tribes. And
the stories of offenses and defenses on the same team hating each other. Buddy Ryan's famous feuds against in Houston.
Oh, God,
hating the run and shoot, which you used to call the chuck and duck.
Yeah. The Seattle Seahawks of today are like that as
That's true. You're absolutely right. And I think in some ways, head coaches don't even bother sometimes trying to just defense, give me defense, offense, give me offense.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts from...
Well,
from
we got sort of... We'll talk Patriots later and sort of the big picture.
Big picture question, because they're going to... You feel like they're going to destroy Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee probably shouldn't have beaten Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened to Kansas City.
Here's the stunning thing. I feel so bad. I was over at my buddy Dave Perry's place, who listens to every podcast, and I walk in. He's got his jersey on.
Oh,
and
wait a minute. Is he a Chiefs fan?
His wife has got a Derek Thomas jersey on. And their little baby Leia, who is like, you know, is 8, 9 months old. He's going to kill him. I don't remember. The baby is crawling. Has got a Chiefs onesie on. And at the half, we're drinking wine and we're laughing as we eat our charcuterie board about how this game is over. It's going to be 50-3. I am still shocked. I don't know how Tennessee did it. They're not a good team. They're not a good team.
See, that's the thing. When the Saints were up early on the Panthers, you figured, well, this isn't done.
Yeah.
Because the Panthers are a good team.
Yeah.
You've got guys with experience on that team. You've got a defense that can lock down. You knew that it wasn't going to be over. But when the Chiefs were up early on the Tennessee Titans, I didn't feel that at all. I thought this game was over. It was Ukraine on Christmas Eve, and I spent zero effort trying to watch the second half.
Yeah.
Until you get to the fourth and someone says, you might want to come over here and see this.
Yeah, Mariota just threw a touchdown pass to himself. But yeah, our big picture question a little bit. Is the NFL better off or worse off with New England continuing to win?
Which may not last. This may be their last run.
This may be.
We'll see. There's a lot of internal strife that's being reported. They deny it.
They deny it.
As you expect they would. But it's completely logical that it would be there after all this time.
At some point, ego just takes over. It can't not.
As we discuss this, Maddie threw out this big question idea over the weekend, and I want to talk about natural and unnatural causes when it comes to the end of dynasties. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to that in a little bit, plus our top five diet foods. But I want to talk about Travis Dermott now.
Yeah.
Because as a young defenseman in the Leafs system, he got his big call-up and it was very cute, texting his dad, everyone excited. You know, 20 years old, 21 years old, something like that. And he's playing his first game this weekend against Vancouver, up with the big club.
Yeah.
And the community was excited.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to talk about this because you and I sometimes laugh at how Leafs fans will get way too amped about the simplest things. But I want to explain why this Travis Dermott thing is actually different. This is not obsessing over Josh Levo. This is not obsessing over Matt Martin's minutes.
Okay.
This is actually a meaningful thing.
Okay.
This isn't even Garrett Sparks coming up and showing a great start and, you know, you remember back to his first start. No, this one's actually mattered. This is why Travis Dermott actually matters. One, developed internally.
Yes.
He represents something the Leafs have had struggles with forever, which is homegrown defensemen.
Check.
Can I go over the last few years and just mention some of the defensemen that they've drafted with their better picks? Matt Finn, second rounder. Ooh. Jesse Blacker, second rounder. Luke Shen, fifth overall. Corbinian Holzer. Now, they had Anton Strahlman, but they traded him for Wayne Primo.
Oh.
This is going back to like the year 2000, Matt. Those are the best names that I could pull.
Corbinian Holzer.
I think he might have been a fourth rounder. But I remember when Matt Finn got drafted. Yep. I think it was from the Guelph Storm. I thought, you know, this is a move in the right direction.
Nope.
Trying to get a good homegrown defenseman. Nope. Jesse Blacker. Remember the conversations? Oh, is Jesse Blacker going to turn into anything? Boy, they seem like distant conversations.
I feel like right now, Bob? Mm. I feel like Obi-Wan in Star Wars. Jesse Blacker. Wait, what's Jesse's
last? Jesse Blacker.
Yeah, Jesse Blacker. Now, that's a name I haven't heard for a long time.
How much Star Wars did you watch, by the way, over this break? I watched an awful lot. I still haven't seen the movie, though.
I haven't seen the new one.
But I have actually a position. I'm going to come back to Travis Dermott in just one second.
Okay.
For a long time, I've been one of those hipsters who's looked down on Episode 6 as an inferior, like the runt of the litter.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not that bad.
No, Return of the Jedi is good. Get rid of the Ewoks.
Yeah.
And Return of the Jedi is a good movie.
You know, the first sequence, the Leia bikini is a little questionable in retrospect. I haven't seen this in a long time. That was a lot more fanboyish than I remember.
Yeah.
But it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Luke's a little intense. He could lighten up a bit.
By the way, no spoiler, but if you thought Luke was a little intense in Return, enjoy The Last Jedi. Okay, he's if you compare in Return of the Jedi, Luke is basically a cruise director, okay?
He's Julie on the Love Boat?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, duly noted. All right,
Return of the Jedi, it's good.
It's better than I remembered.
Yes.
I still think it's the weakest of the three in the
middle.
Yeah,
but that's fine.
But I remembered it being a distant third. I don't think it's that distant.
Get rid of Sofia Coppola. And Godfather 3 is actually not a bad movie.
It's actually a really good movie. I would go as far to say that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about Travis Dermott.
Yeah.
Developing internally a defenseman, and that the Leafs just...
Better than Corbinian Blacker.
Luke Shen. So there's that. The other thing is, and this goes back to the draft, if you remember at that specific draft, they had the 24th pick that year. And they traded down to get a couple second-rounders that turned into Travis Dermott and Jeremy Bracco. And this was an early sign that the Leafs were looking at doing things the smart way.
Yep.
They were playing the odds rather than just going and getting a Freddie Gauthier with the pick, which was probably right around the same area for both these guys. They did the smart thing, the analytics thing, the numbers game. And so Travis Dermott, because, you know, Travis Konecny winds up getting drafted, Sebastian Aho, like they were good players they could have had.
Yeah.
So in a weird way, this is almost a validate the process kind of move for everybody who got excited that the Leafs were going to do smart, simple, basic non-attention getting things, this validates the process. If Travis Dermott comes up, it's like, see, the Leafs are doing it the right way.
Yeah.
They could have just used the pick, but no, they played the odds and it's working out in their favor.
And a little pitcher, he looked like he belonged against,
yep, 12
against,
minutes,
against Vancouver, and was playing a bunch in the third period. Let's see what he does, if how much he plays or what's going on. I haven't seen the line combos against Columbus tonight, the only NHL game going on because of the national championship. But you got Zaitsev out for at least another month. You got Connor Carrick struggling. You got Roman Polak, who loves the penalty box. Oh, he loves it so much. So there is an opportunity for a young guy like this to maybe play more minutes than what you'd expect.
So there is such a thing called, this is the Roman Polak. It just dawned on me. I had a light bulb go off in my mind. There is the PP,
yep,
the power play, mm-hmm, right? There is the PK, the penalty kill.
Yep.
Can we have a special new category for Roman Polak called the PT, the penalty taker?
It's so true.
Roman Polak.
He can't help
himself. Spent 6 minutes yesterday on the PT.
Yep. Oh. He can't help himself.
He really can't.
He just loves it.
Which goes to my last point about Travis Dermott, which is you've seen these stopgap measures, which we all know are not good enough. Mm-hmm. Not for a team that has aspirations to a championship. But you imagine in your mind, well, what if there was a Travis Dermott and Timothy Liljegren, mm-hmm, even if they were the fifth and sixth defensemen, or if they were just contributing to a top six and they're on their entry-level contracts, because, yep, you know that money's got to be saved for the big boys.
Yep.
And all of this is necessary for the Leafs to take that next jump. Somebody's going to have to be a defenseman from within the system,
yeah,
that contributes to the next 3 to 4 years. Somebody's going to have.
Someone's got to be a contributor who's making less than $1 million.
Has to be.
You know,
and it, yeah, just doesn't work any other way. Every team always has that. So, and if you could get it on defense, that's a beauty.
Now, think about this. I'm going to give you one way with the Leafs defense. Suddenly, you look at it and you say to yourself, you know what? That's not bad at all. What if, and it could happen, because he's healthy and he's not old. What if Jake Gardner plays like playoff Jake from last year?
Mm-hmm.
Considering how Morgan Rielly seems to have taken a step. You got those two guys. Eventually, Zaitsev comes back. You've got Hainsey. Now you've got, like, you know, these other young guys. You've got these options out there. But if Jake Gardner comes back, and it's the Jake Gardner from last year, and you got Rielly, and you got these other things, you look at that and go, yeah, it's not a top five defense, but it's good enough.
All you have to be is good enough if your forwards are there. And, yeah, we saw that with Pittsburgh. They've now become the quintessential example of how if you have the right forward group, you just have to have defensemen that don't blow it for you.
Yeah.
The defensemen right now, I'm a little bit worried that they've gotten so into this chip it out of the zone mentality. And I'm sure they're being coached that way and told to do it, which is another reason why Travis Dermott is exciting, because he's a skater.
Yeah.
In fact, I talked to friend of the pod, Jeff Merrick,
ooh,
who told me that Jay McKee in Erie told him...
Of course.
I smiled when he told me. I was on the phone with him today.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what do you think of Travis Dermott? He goes, oh, I love him. He goes, I got a story to tell you.
Of course he did.
And he's like, yeah, they called him the ankle breaker because guys, you know, he'd be, yeah, flying by guys and, you know, the pivot would be so hard. He'd be busting ankles just like in basketball. So there you go. Straight out of the mouth, ankle breaker.
Oh, Jeff.
He's too much.
You got to get a life.
He's a beaut.
Yeah.
He's a beauty. We got to get him on. He's got his new podcast coming out soon with Elliot.
That's right.
31 Thoughts.
Yeah.
It's going to be huge. Does it debut this week?
Probably.
Next week? I should know this.
Definitely next week at the latest.
I should know this.
I saw something on Twitter about it. I only have one other thought about the Leafs.
Okay.
I
have a quick thought. Can I sub it in?
Yeah, yeah.
How important is yours? Because mine's just a meaningless little trifle.
Mine's somewhere in between the defense talk and a trifle.
Okay, well, you go with yours.
I don't care that they're 4-1 in the shootouts this year. And my last year they were 1-8. And the funny thing is, talking to Darren Dreger today, and I kept, you know, I was pushing, this is all luck. And he agreed, but then he sort of backslid into, well, you know, they're, you know, analyzing and Anderson's getting better. So they're, you know, they've got game plans on everyone. And then he sort of laughed. He's like, Babcock doesn't want this to be about luck. I'm like, come on, Darren. And Darren, to his credit, laughed about it. Like, the only reason Babcock is saying that is luck means he doesn't have control. And for control freaks, they don't like the idea of luck.
Ding. And 3-on-3, I don't think gives them much control either.
No, not at all. But last year, Toronto, very talented team. 1-8 in the shootout. Washington, very talented team, won the President's Trophy. 2-5 in the shootout. The Red Wings missed the playoffs. 9-0 in the shootout. Don't give me any of this horse bleep. And listen, Anderson is doing a lot better job than he did last year. And the shooting percentage is way up. But this is still, to me, I look at it and I don't say, oh, they've made concentrated efforts, that they've done A, B, and C that have led to them being 4-1. I don't buy it.
I would imagine that the shootout is probably more coachable than the 3-on-3, because the 3-on-3 is really just, there's such a huge ice surface at that point. What could you possibly coach?
What were they coach? Like, well, Babcock's a great coach and they had all these talented guys and they were 1-8. What did they coach last year? What did Washington coach? The Red Wings stunk last year.
To everybody who hates this and the randomness of this skills competition, yeah. I say, cry me a river. What happened? I was fine with ties.
Yeah.
If you want it to be a genuine test of skill, even on even, 5-on-5, then just live with ties. Make it like baseball, where you play till you win.
Yeah. Oh, no, that's what I do. I do that. Yeah. I figured
the union will never go for that.
Yeah. Well, the union's too busy protecting guys who hit other guys in the head. They don't, you know, anyway. That's all right. So that was my little thing with the show.
So here's my little trifle. So you got the Leafs and the Columbus Blue Jackets tonight. Columbus is a college football town, and it's conceivable at the beginning of every year that the Buckeyes could be in the championship game.
Yep.
Conceivable.
Yeah, 100%.
What percentage of Columbus sports fans would watch tonight's game versus the Leafs if the Buckeyes were in the championship game? Could you get a zero rating?
You get pretty close. You know the only ones you're going to get? You're going to get the defiant sports fan who's sick and tired of the omnipotent Ohio State, you know, sports cloud that hangs over them. Like, this would be the hipster resistance that, you know, they're wearing those masks that, what was that movie? Natalie Portman in it.
V for Vendetta.
V for Vendetta. Yeah, that one.
So this is C for Columbus?
Yeah, this is C
B
for
Blue Jacket?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what this is.
All right.
Those are the only ones who are watching this.
All right. So then I dedicate this to the Blue Jackets tonight and everybody who went out and bought tickets, even though there was a possibility. Is it in Columbus or Toronto tonight? I don't even know.
It is in Toronto.
Oh, okay. Well, then screw that.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that's my little trifle of a thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to get to diet foods?
Yeah, let's get to diet foods.
All right. So I don't know if you know this about Matt and I. This is probably more true of me, but it's true of both of us. We're indulgent.
Yes. Oh, my God. Christmas, like, I remember one of the nights, I think it was Christmas night, I came home after Christmas dinner and I noticed I'd forgotten to eat the last 3 days of my advent calendar. So I sat and just ate those chocolates before I went to bed.
Matt, do you know what I had for a snack last night?
What?
While the toast was in the toaster and I was making myself a sandwich, I couldn't wait for the toast to pop. So I had 3 meatballs.
Oh my God.
3 meatballs while the toast was toasting.
That's good.
Thanks.
Thanks.
And you know how I ate them? There was a serving board, and I just put them on the serving board, shot some salt on them, and ate them with my hands.
Yeah.
I popped them back like ping pong balls.
So as you're waiting for your sandwich to be made, you had meatballs.
Right.
Yep, that's perfect. There it is.
There you go. So it starts today. Uh-huh. The long road back starts today. How about for you, pal? Are you long road backing?
I'm just cutting backing. You know, I'm not doing any major... You know, okay, less weekday wine and just cutting back on sugar.
Did you actually get really drunk at any point?
Because
I feel like the older you get, the less people get really drunk. You get tipsy, actually, you get silly, but almost, you know.
The only time it was kind of a sneaky one was actually Christmas night. I was at my dad's place and I decided I was going to spend the night there. And we went over to his neighbors and his neighbors were just kept firing shots at us, and they were like these like delicious shots, not like shots that real men with a lot of hair on their chest. You know, these are more cream based.
So you had the liqueurs.
Yeah, oh, just tons of them. And then sneaky. And then next thing I know, we're back at my dad's having one more glass of wine. I'm like, ooh, I'm drunk. So that would be it.
All right. So here is my top 5 diet foods if you're looking to do penance and you're trying to get back what you've just given away.
Yeah.
Number 5, breakfast is key. So there's a hot cereal. Bob's Red Mill hot cereal. It comes in a package. You can get it at just about every health food store. And it's things like brown rice cereal or farina.
Ugh.
I got to do the brown rice just because I have a gluten sensitivity.
Yeah.
And Bob's Red Mill makes good hot cereal. And this is the key. See, if you start your day.
Is it expensive? It sounds like
it's not so bad. You know, it's like $8 for a pack, but you get probably like, you know, it's like a buck. It's like a buck.
A buck a pack.
It's like a buck a meal.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
It's good. You know, so you put some berries on it, boom. But the key is you got to start your day off healthy. Because if you start your day off with nothing, then your body starts to go, F this.
Yeah.
I'm going to get something good going.
Yeah.
And then lunch winds up being like three grilled cheese sandwiches, for example.
For example. Just a random
meal I had yesterday.
Not apropos to anything.
I had four salami sandwiches yesterday.
Oh my God.
God, I can tuck it away. So you have to have a good breakfast to start. Bob's Red Mill Hot Cereal. Number four. People always scrimp on entrees and then they get angry. So you have to have a good entree that you can have. An actual meaningful meal you sit down that is hot for dinner.
Is this a chicken breast?
No.
Okay.
Stuffed green peppers. You do brown rice because the white rice is no good for you.
Yeah.
But stuffed green peppers because you get the tomato sauce on it. It comes out of the oven. It's aromatic. Mm-hmm. You bust it open. It's good. And the great thing about it, you're not buying stuffed green peppers?
No. I don't like green peppers. But no, go on. This is good for the listener. This is good PSA.
Okay, so salad. Salad is key. A good one is avocado, tomato, cucumber, and basil. That is a nice one with lots of olive oil.
Yep.
But here's the real one. Here's the expert's diet food. Coleslaw.
Mm.
With a little bit of apple cider vinegar on.
Okay, yeah.
Super good for you.
Yeah.
Crunches, and as we all know, if it's got crunch,
that helps,
right?
You need that. Can I add one thing to the
coleslaw? The slaw,
the coleslaw, and the salad thing. What mm-hmm. I do, I got like one of those like magic bullet things.
You know,
I put almonds. Throw some crushed up almond with the avocado, and it definitely gives it more of a like you're having a full meal.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. Good to know. The reason why coleslaw is because first of all, you can eat a bunch of it, and it's got like practically zero calories to it.
Yeah.
But also, it's a side. So psychologically, where do you usually see coleslaw? You see it sitting next to a burger.
Yeah.
It sitting next to a piece of fried halibut.
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's just what to say. Yeah.
So it's a treat food that isn't really a treat food.
Okay. Yep. I gotcha.
Number two, my mother-in-law's lentil soup. I'll bring some over for you.
Okay.
My mother-in-law, Gina, mm-hmm. I'm convinced is a witch because of this soup. Because it's just lentils, water, mm-hmm. olive oil, and some vegetables.
Yeah.
But it is so good. People will travel across the city just for lentil soup. When was the last time you said, you know what? I'm going to put on my boots and go an hour north to have a bowl of soup.
Never.
But if you had my mother-in-law's lentil soup, you might.
Okay.
I'll bring it next time. We'll have it together.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
I'll serve it. Okay. Yep. We'll actually do a sampling of the soup.
Very exciting.
And number one, I was going to go with popcorn, but it sucks so bad without butter that even if you put a little salt, it's still not good enough. You need a snack food.
You need a treat
because you can't lie to yourself. Everybody needs treats in life. Dark chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Yep.
Not the stuff you go and you get wrapped up on a Snickers bar.
No.
But like the stuff you get in a bar, you crack it open, you pull it out of the foil with a high cocoa percentage.
Yeah.
It's chocolate,
mm-hmm.
so you feel like you're stealing from the bank.
Yep.
But it's actually good for you because it's filled with antioxidants and anti-inflammatories. So it's good for your heart. Dark chocolate is actually good for you, and it contains the word chocolate. So those are my diet foods.
I like it.
Thank you. My top five diet foods. I am going to be living on this stuff for the next 3 weeks probably.
That does not sound like fun. But so what was the hot cereal? Bob's
Red Mill Hot Cereal. When I get the Instagram account going, I will send out a picture of it.
Oh, I can't wait for that Instagram account.
Me neither.
It is already packed with photos.
If we lived up to all the promises for Instagram photos, we'd be putting up pictures of like autumn leaves. Actually, it might even go back to the summer.
Actually, it might be you and
I in bathing suits.
Yeah. Well, that makes me not want to put on the Instagram account.
Do you want to add anything in there, Maddie? You kind of did with your almond suggestion.
The almond thing. And, you know, just eat lots of those blueberries and whatnot.
Blueberries are super good for you, buddy.
They are. I know. Love blueberries.
Oh, before we get on to the big question.
Yeah.
Can we do a quick shout out to DeMar DeRozan?
Yes.
When his 52-point game.
Yep.
And he is playing so amazingly. Mm-hmm. He looks like a second-team All-NBA kind of guy
He does.
Now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 100%.
He's unbelievable.
One assist more per game than his previous career high. Absolutely.
Hitting threes off the dribble.
Apparently, New Year's Eve, he was at the gym.
Really?
Yeah. He was working on a shot on New Year's Eve.
I hate Kobe so much.
Yeah.
But his love of Kobe and the way he's approached, you know, his Kobe-esque approach to self-improvement, it puts me in a really conflicted position.
Well,
because I would never say to another human being, you know who you should be more like?
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant. But on a basketball court, it seems to be helpful.
Well, just pick and choose. Professionally, no, when it comes to your self-improvement professionally, be like Kobe. When it comes to your interaction with your teammates, don't be like Kobe. When it comes to sexual harassment in Colorado, don't be like Kobe. But when it comes to making yourself better in your in your field of employment, be like Kobe.
You know what's really driving me crazy? Is DeMar is really, and he's always had this, but it's even more this year. He's getting the Kobe angry face. You know how Kobe would always get that kind of jaw out?
And he got it later on, that fake Kobe, I'm mad and intense.
Yeah, and I feel like DeRozan's adopting that.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
He's such a good guy. Just
Just be you. You don't need to put on airs.
DeMar. You do you.
Yeah, you don't have to put on any airs. It's ridiculous.
Have you noticed the face, the jutting out jaw thing?
I haven't, but they're playing the Nets tonight. I'll keep an eye on that.
Okay. Are you going to watch the national football, the champion?
I'm going to PVR it.
Jeepers, but that Oklahoma game was
that great. Oklahoma Georgia game was ridiculous. That's maybe the best football game. That is the best football game I've seen all year, college or the pros. The problem is I'm going to PVR it, but the sneaky thing is everyone talks about baseball being long. It's like college football is like, hold my beer. And then college football bowl games, like, here, hold my beer, beer guy holder, because it's going to be minimum 4 hours. It's not going to be over till midnight. And I do have to wake up at 4:30 doing the morning show for a bunch of days this week. So I'm gonna have to PVR because there's no way I'm gonna be able to watch it.
It's gonna be depressing watching Alabama just roll over Georgia.
I know, and that's the thing. It's gonna be
if you thought it was gonna be anyone but Nick Saban doing it, but he's gonna win. It's gonna be depressing.
Yep, 100%.
All right, so shall we get into the big question, buddy boy?
Yeah, and the big question, you know, the Patriots. Man, have they become even more newsworthy after the report by Seth Wickersham from ESPN about how Brady and Belichick aren't getting along and Belichick, you know, didn't want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, but Bob Kraft chose Brady over the future of the Patriots. And you can make arguments on all sides on this, but the one thing we can agree on is that take away all conspiracy theories. Well, a lot of them you could start adding. We can both agree New England, very smart team, right?
Yep, maybe the smartest.
Belichick seems to have a pretty good track record of just a good track record of being a football mind. Mm-hmm. We can agree on that?
Fair enough.
You trade Jimmy Garoppolo for a second round pick when other quarterbacks who have done the same or even less have been moved for first round picks. That is the most unusual part. So they've been in the news. Simple question. Everyone's tired of them. They always win. We assume they're going to win again this year. Is New England winning good or bad for football?
I think it's been good. Just because I'm a dynasty guy, I'm a believer in that when there's too much parity and there's too much turnover at the top, you don't get time to really develop a relationship with any team. Mm-hmm. You know, hockey, we got to like the Blackhawks or hate the Blackhawks, depending on your perspective.
Yep.
You know, we got to like the Penguins or hate the Penguins, depending on your perspective.
But you had emotion.
Yeah, you certainly had feelings towards Crosby because you see that he's building his resume. And when you have a lot of turnover at the top, it's really hard. Unless your team is directly involved, it's really hard to care about the playoffs. You know, you have to either have to be an insane-o fan or you got to have a horse in the race.
Yeah.
But the great thing about dynasties is you can come to it with something that you've earned over the years, an impression about a team that really has nothing to do with you, but you're so used to them, now you kind of care for one reason or another.
Here's the best-case scenario for football, because the NFL needs the Patriots because they add more gravitas. I'll compare it with Tiger Woods. Dustin Johnson winning a major is great. But if Dustin Johnson beat Tiger, it's even greater. You know. And when the Pittsburgh Steelers beat the Arizona Cardinals, hey, you know, great for them. Hell of a game. But it doesn't feel the same. But when, and I know maybe this is my bias as a Giants fan, but when the Giants beat Brady and Belichick, it just felt bigger because you beat those guys. So having them in the
those guys were undefeated going up to that one particular year. So it was a tremendous football feat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But the best case scenario, and I get people going, oh, I'm tired. The playoffs are going to be so predictable. But for New England to lose in the Super Bowl, that would be the most newsworthy thing. And I think that's what the NFL needs. You need the Patriots because you need someone to hate. And the funny thing is, Bob, on a slight sidetrack, do you remember when they won their first Super Bowl?
Yeah, sure.
Against the Rams?
Against the Rams, yeah.
They were the lovable underdog.
Right.
And we hated
Tom Brady was the sixth round pick that somehow, you know, took over from Drew Bledsoe and found his way to the front of the class.
Yeah, and we're all rooting for these lovable underdogs, a scrappy team going up against the big, bad Rams, the greatest show on turf, with that arrogant coach, Mike Martz, who's just sticking into everyone by passing and passing and passing. And New England won. We're like, there's the heroes. And now they are hated.
they're really, really good at being detestable, though. They're not just villains because they win.
Yeah.
Tom Brady, easily hateable. Punchable face.
Yep.
Wears Uggs to press conferences. Yep. Wears ridiculous jalapeno pepper type hats.
The TB12 thing, which he says that you can, injuries aren't about football. They're about not drinking enough water or stretching right.
The leaving your pregnant wife for a supermodel.
Mm-hmm.
The unblinking support of the Republicans, and then all of a sudden finding yourself in hot water with the whole Donald Trump thing, along with your owner. There's just a lot of reason. Okay, and that's just Tom Brady. Bill Belichick,
yep.
Completely detestable fellow.
Just a rude, arrogant, a rude human being. A rude human being.
Bob also, Kraft cozying up to Roger Goodell for all those years, cackling from the top of the football world down at all of the minions.
Guess how old Bob Kraft's girlfriend is?
Well, since you put it that way, I'm going to guess under 40.
38.
Yeah.
He's 76.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, moving
not
on.
Not quite Anna Nicole Smith, Texas billionaire territory. Not quite.
No, but not far off. Okay, not far off.
And then I'm not even talking about the football stuff yet.
Mm-hmm.
The cheating with Spygate, the deflated balls, which I actually don't think was anything. But yeah. Spygate was something.
Spygate was something. Deflategate wasn't.
And their merciless attitude towards their own personnel, where they would cut a guy on Christmas Eve via text if they thought it would make them better on Christmas Day.
Yep. But on some levels, don't you have to admire that? Because for them, it was always about winning. It was always about, we're going to put emotion aside. It's just going to be about cold, hard. And for some people, they love that. And they admire, you know, just that level of excellence. But you need, as predictable as these AFC playoffs should be, at least we know what they're going to do to the Titans. The NFL, I think it's better off for them having New England there. Only because having them lose in the Super Bowl is so much bigger than, say, Pittsburgh.
There's two things that matter in football, really. One is the conference championship game.
Yep.
And the other one is the division title.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, you know, the first couple rounds, the divisional playoffs, like I'm talking about things that you really, really remember, things that stick in your mind. The New England Patriots have had divisional dominance. It's been a joke. What are they, like? 12 in a row?
12.
15?
Like 15 of the last 16. It's something literally like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So that is how you dominate the regular season. And then, you know what? I think the Super Bowl is a bit of a coin flip, to tell you the truth. I just think one game...
Should have lost to Atlanta and Seattle.
True. 100%. You know, and they could have lost to Carolina as well, because that was awfully close. But I think when you beat, like, you know, Pittsburgh so many times, like that's the conference game. What I like about that is you kind of have rivals. Like they played Baltimore a lot. Those games are always fascinating because New England's in them. Because it's not just a game; it is a team versus a legacy.
Yeah,
which is your point ultimately.
Yeah.
So you use the word was. Are you convinced it's was? You're talking about the Patriots dynasty as though it was in the past tense.
This is the final year. After this, it's over. I think after this, it's going to catch up to Brady. The defense isn't that great. I think there is legitimate strife within that organization, and that just starts to chew away. That chews away, you know, within it just there's little bonds you don't even know exist that start to get severed. So yeah, I think in some ways New England's under more pressure than anyone else because they mortgaged their future. By deciding Brady and Garoppolo, you go off, and my God, San Fran's offense looks night and day difference. I think this is it. This is the final year.
So is it, just so I understand final year, do you mean final year of their dominance where they're a Super Bowl contending team, or do you think they actually, because in football, you can hit the skids pretty fast.
I think what's going to happen is next year, they're going to win the division, and they're going to lose early in the playoffs by a large score that's going to seem crazy, and then we're going to look back in 2 or 3 years and go, yep. That's how it's going to be.
How long till Buffalo, if they get a decent quarterback, legitimately contends against the Patriots for that division title?
Oh, I don't think it's...
Is that a year away? Is that 2 years away?
I think it's many years away. Buffalo was outscored in the season. They made the playoffs because of a 4th-and-14 throw, and then in their one playoff game, they scored 3 points.
First of all, it's 4th-and-12, so don't make it sound like a Hail Mary.
Okay, 4th-and-12, where he broke 3 tackles and scored on a 43-yard touchdown with less than a minute to go. Get out of here. This Buffalo team, this Buffalo team is no better off than if they were 6-and-10, 7-and-9.
I predicted 8-8 all year long and that they wouldn't make the playoffs.
We're off by one game,
but really they had no business in the playoffs. Too many weird things happened.
Yeah, the Ravens should have been there. The Chargers should have been there. But, yeah, so
Okay, so that's your concept of was. What I find fascinating about this, Maddie, is, and I mentioned this earlier in the pod, when it comes to the end of a dynasty, there are natural and unnatural causes.
Yes.
Almost like any great story, you know, whether it's a business or any kind of partnership, these things tend to dissolve either on their own accord or something gets in the middle. Natural causes are things like time.
Yes.
Time gets to everyone eventually. And you can see, like, even Belichick's in his, how old is he now?
He's like 65.
Like, right. Like, yeah. He's pushing 70.
Yeah.
So how many years does he have left? But Tom Brady's in his 40s. And even though what he's been able to do is freaky, he says he wants to play till 45. Can he do it? I don't know. Brett Favre was really good into his 40s.
Mm-hmm. But he had one great year in his 40s.
With Minnesota.
Yeah, with Minnesota.
But my point is, we all know, as you mentioned, that it's not, his time's coming soon.
Yes.
And the other thing is that the rate of attrition on your own talent starts to happen. This is how dynasties usually break up. This is just hard to keep that many talented people under the same roof.
Yep.
And it's not just personnel. It's Matt Patricia. It's Josh McDaniels. Everybody knows probably one of them is going to be gone.
One or both of them. Yeah, there's going to be a brain drain. And if any injury happens to them, then it's the Brian Hoyer show. So, yeah, I think this is the last year of greatness. I think it'll, their level of dominance in the playoffs is going to go after this year. If they win the regular season, it's because it's Ryan Tannehill, TBA, and TBA for the other two quarterbacks in the AFC East.
Now, this is the way dynasties usually end. I call it natural causes. And you fight against it as best as you can, but the cards are stacked against you. Just kind of like your own self in life, right? Like, you look at the Chicago Blackhawks, and they win, but then, you know, they can't afford everybody under the cap. So guys just start to go, and they start to go. And you just continue to be a good team, but you're not the same great one anymore.
Yes.
Unnatural causes is where it gets interesting. The things that crop up that stop a dynasty from being as great as it could have been, or maybe just going a little further because of those crazy VH1 behind the music type dramas that pop up when you have so many talented people under one roof. That's why we're talking about the Patriots. We're talking about the Patriots because of the Seth Wickersham. We've known everything you've said all year long. We've seen evidence of it all year long. The Jimmy Garoppolo is interesting because it's so un-Patriots-like.
Yep.
Right? As you said, they were the ultimate business-like machine when it came to winning. Why would they get rid of a great young quarterback when they've got a 40-year-old who's maybe got a year or two left in him, and everybody seems to acknowledge Jimmy Garoppolo as an exciting young talent? You've got him.
You got him.
And you get rid of him?
For a second rounder.
Now it gets interesting. Now you've got the battle between head coach, greatest all-time quarterback, and a very, very involved owner.
I'll tell you this. New England versus New England will be more interesting than New England versus Tennessee.
1,000%. And I expect they'll go out and pound Tennessee.
Yeah.
Just almost to make the point.
Yeah.
That we are who you thought we were.
Yeah.
That'll last for a little while. You know what they remind me of a little bit right now? It's different, but it kind of reminds me of the Shaq and Kobe Lakers. Because they could have won 6.
Yeah.
They could have won more than 2. But the battle between Kobe and Shaq got too big.
Yeah.
And they couldn't live under the same roof. Shaq winds up going to win in Miami, but that was unnatural causes.
Yeah, 100%. That's a good way to put it. Natural, unnatural causes. And Bob, on that note, we got to go.
We do.
58 minutes in.
Oh my God. Thursday is going to be a major recap.
Yeah.
Major recap, because I've got an intense Wednesday parent council meeting.
Oh, stay tuned for Thursday. It's PTA. It's 2 Leaf games. It's some Raptor games. And the national. We'll see if we get the national championship. Bob, great to be back. Great to see you. Take care, sir.
See you, buddy.
Thanks for listening to the Macko and Cause podcast. Remember to subscribe on iTunes or Audioboom. And if you like the podcast, leave a review. If you don't like the podcast, then maybe don't leave a review.